God put Mary in a position where it was way over her head. Way over her head. It was beyond anything that anybody else had ever done. She hadn't planned on this. It was going to turn her world upside down. And if you ever have had something in your life that you know God wants you to do, but you, let's just be honest, you don't want to do it. You're afraid to do it. You're not big enough, good enough, strong enough, right enough. There's got to be somebody else that can do it. Or maybe I just don't want to get involved in it because I don't know what's going to happen. What if I say yes to this God and then this happens? I don't know. God, if God has not challenged your life recently to take a step beyond what you're comfortable with, you're not really in a good spiritual position. But I just want to tell you this, from my own experience and from what we're going to learn in the life of Mary, that if God asks you to do something, if God tells you to do something, or if honestly God has put you in a situation where he really didn't ask you, because you would have certainly said no, and God has put you in a position, he's going to take care of it. That's one part you don't have to worry about, because nothing's impossible with God. It may be impossible for you. You may not know how you're going to get around this or what you're going to do, and it has disrupted your whole life. But let's put God back in the position where he is most available, and that is God. We're not. He is. So we're going to look at this passage here just for a few minutes, and I really have 2 points to outline this passage. First of all, Mary's surprise. The angel came to her. Her life was going along just normal. She was espoused, which means they were still considered husband and wife. Their engagement period was legal, a binding contract, and so she was engaged, betrothed to be married to Joseph. And while that happened, Gabriel came down, and Gabriel said, "You are going to have a baby." Several things would have surprised her. Number one, an angel. I don't know about you, but if an angel comes to me, I'm going to be surprised. So the angel, the fact that she was going to have a baby was a surprise. If you've ever been surprised finding out that you're expecting, that can become a shock at times. But then the biggest shock was that she would have a baby while still a virgin. A complete miracle. But she said, how can this be? She was completely shocked. The angel said, "The baby that will be born in you will be the Son of God. You are going to bear this Messiah that has been promised." In fact, all the way back to Genesis, the third chapter of Genesis, right after Adam and Eve sinned, and God began to extend the punishment on them, God made a promise that from the seed of a woman, God would break the head of Satan. And the seed of a woman. Women biologically have eggs. The seed comes from God. She would have a baby while still a virgin because that baby would be God's son. And what a shock. What a surprise. And so here's what we find out. We find out that Mary was blessed above all women. As a matter of fact, he said that's what the angel Gabriel said. You are going to be blessed among women. And this is a story about a young girl that her life is going to be turned upside down. All the plans that she had made about how, even at a young life, how her life was going to come about began to be turned upside down and turned around and backwards. And so she had to accept it. And one of the problems that we have with Mary is the fact that some people raise her view a little bit too high. If you're familiar with the teachings of the Catholic Church, they teach that Mary now was immaculately conceived, that she had no human sin nature, and that she is also part redeemer along with Jesus Christ. They give her a role way above what the Bible even teaches. And yet there are some people that say, no, she's just a normal woman. She's just a girl. She's nobody special. But the angel says, no, she is blessed. She is blessed above all women, not because of who she was, but because of the baby that she had. And I want you to just think about this. Jesus is now fully God and fully human. But all of his humanity, all of his genetics, DNA, so to speak, comes from Mary. And so when Mary would look down at that baby in her arms, the features that she saw were from her. The features that Jesus portrayed as he grew up, what he looked like, came from her family line. She was blessed above all women. So in where we place Mary in all of this and in our life, never worship Mary. Mary is, you know, a sinner. She needed a savior as well as anybody else. She needed a as a matter of fact, there is nowhere in scripture that Jesus even called her mother. He called her woman. Not that she wasn't his mother, but we find out that she did not have a place of reverence like many people do, but we don't want to put her back down here as just a normal. She was blessed among all women, not because of who she was, but because of the child that she had. But it was a shock. It was a real shock. And so here's the principle that I want to give you, even though it was a shock and turned her world upside down. This is the life lesson. The best things in life happen unexpectedly. They may not appear to be the best things, but it's amazing how some of the best things in life happen when we are not expecting it. It is a surprise. Yeah, we've got our life all planned out and how we want it. And some of you young people, you may have it exactly how you're going to live your life. When you graduate from high school, go to college, when you're going to get married, maybe even the type of person you're going to get married to, how many kids you're going to have, what kind of occupation, how long you're going to stay in that, when you're going to switch, when you're going to retire, where you're going to live when you retire. It's amazing, those of us that are on the older side, we look back and we say, yeah, you tell me how that's going to work out in your life. It's because maybe you are the reason why our plans didn't work out. And so the plans just don't work out. A surprise comes, and God does not allow or bring a surprise into your life that he doesn't have some bigger plan to happen, some better thing to go on. It may not look like it. Mary's going to get married. She was going to have children the normal way. And I'll just explain to it in a little bit more, but she didn't, will Joseph still love me? I mean, who is going to believe a virgin conception, let alone a virgin birth? The community, the religious community, her family could turn against her. She could be all alone in this adventure. Don't take it lightly that God gave it to her and she says, oh, yeah, goody, goody, I get to be the one, because this was going to turn her world upside down. But what a blessing that for all of human history, and I don't know if she is, but I would say that Mary is in at least the top five, if not number one, most famous woman who has ever lived in human history. And so we have this unexpected things. I can remember Judy and I were going on our missions trip. Personal surprise. We were going on a missions trip. We were going to Mexico. We got on an airplane, and Judy says, you know, I haven't been feeling good. And so I looked at her just casually, said, maybe you're pregnant. All of a sudden, she got this look on her face that it was the first time it even crossed her mind. Because what happened is a few weeks ago, I didn't tell her this one. A few weeks ago, I had taken out this singer from our church, And he was there, and we were talking, and he had two kids, and we had three kids. And honestly, we couldn't afford three kids at the time on the salary that we had. You know, we just couldn't handle it. And so he says, well, he says, are you going to stop at three, or how are you going to? I said, you know what? I said, we would love to have another child if we could afford it. That was the wrong thing to say to him, because he said, if God wants you to have another child, he will help you with it. And I said, no, you don't know how much I met. You don't know where we're at. And he says, no. He says, if God wants you to have a fourth child, God will take care of you. Don't limit God because you don't have enough money. Yeah. About a month later, month and a half, is when we were on the airplane going to Mexico. And all of a sudden, we begin to think that whole trip, maybe we come back, go to the doctor. The maybe turned into a yes. A few months later, the yes turned into Justin. Found out we didn't have maternity insurance. And so our insurance wasn't going to pay for it. We couldn't afford three kids. We couldn't afford the fourth. Now we can't even afford to give him birth and pay for it. Somebody in our church found out about it, and they said, don't worry, we'll pay for it. Justin was the most expensive child we've ever had, but it didn't cost us a dime because somebody in church paid for it. And now that surprise is a professor, Cornerstone University in Grand Rapids. You see, sometimes when something comes in to ruin your plans and your ideas and what you want to do, and you go, I don't know if I can afford this. I don't know if I can handle this. This is too big for me. You know what? If God puts something in your life, deal with it. Because unexpected things that happen, God has some good things for you. So just hang on. But I will just say this. Surprises are going to come. But when they do, we need to do what Mary did, and that is surrender. That's the next part of the outline. Mary's surprise, Mary's surrender. Thing that, you know, I love reading the Bible, because as many times as I've read the Bible, and that's part of what I'm supposed to do, you would expect me to do that, it is amazing how some things I didn't even figure out. Did you know that God didn't give Mary a choice in this? Gabriel did not come down and say, hey, Mary, God's got this idea. What do you think about it? No, Gabriel came down and said, you are going to have a baby. And so Mary really didn't have a choice. She wasn't given a chance to say no to this. God just says, you're going to have it. But I'm sure the wheels were spinning in her mind, and what was happening, and all the things that could happen. What if Joseph turns against me? What if my family turns against me? What if my people turn against me? What if they think I'm crazy? Because at least if I'm pregnant, they'll think I was immoral. If I say I've never been with a man, they'll think I'm crazy. She didn't know what was going to happen, but do you notice what she said? She said, I'll get it here in a minute here. Verse 34. No, not 34. 36. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I'm your handmaid. That was the lowest rung on the bottom. I'm just a handmaid. Whatever you want in my life, I go. I surrender. New King James, let it be. Let it be according to your word. One of my favorite Beatles songs. Let it be. And I began to think about that. Those of you who remember the words? When I find myself in trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. In my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Speaking words of wisdom. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. When Mother Mary comes to me, Mary said, let it be, was Paul McCartney talking about, you know, this passage? Could it be that he was talking about? That's why John Lennon hated this song, because it was too religious. But he wasn't talking about Mother Mary. You see, back when the Beatles were beginning to split up and there was a lot of tension, he had a dream about his mom. And his mom came to him and just told him, let it be. His mother's name was Mary. So the song isn't really about Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's about Mary, the mother of Paul McCartney. Okay? But I think the same thing is that sometimes we just got to say, you know, let it be, let it be. Or in the words of Frozen, let it go, let it go, let it go, you know? And so sometimes we try to struggle and we want to control it and we wish it didn't happen and we want to make things change and stuff like this. And sometimes we just say, okay, God, I give up. I'm going to let you take over. You do it. And so here's my principle for this one. Surrender isn't giving up. It's letting go. Yes, I know since you are, letting it go, giving it up, but just let it go. Get whatever it is, give it back to God. Lord, I will yield my life to you, and I will give it to you. I don't know what it is you're struggling with that God wants you to do. Let me kind of go through a few things that might be, and I want to save a little bit of time for this. Number one, some of you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. I don't know what it is that you're wanting to do, but I can tell you this, God wants you to trust him, to surrender your life to him. That is the big surrender. And so maybe this is the day that you would say, you know what, I've been fighting this. I've been being pulled this way and that way, and I've been hanging on. But today is the day that, you know what, I am going to surrender to God, and I'm going to say, God, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I do want to surrender my life to you. I will just tell you this. Whatever it is you give to God, you will be better off. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe you have trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. The survey we showed last time said that several people have not been baptized. And you know you should. You know that Jesus wants you to. You just haven't done it yet. You just haven't taken that step of surrender. Baptism is the first step of obedience of a believer. It's the part of you that the decision that you make that says, you know what, I am not embarrassed about Jesus. I'm not ashamed of him. I am willing to make a public profession of my faith in Jesus Christ. So I'd encourage you just to surrender and say, okay, God, I know Jesus is my Savior, and I am surrendering myself to be baptized. If you want to do it today, we have the water warm, but if you want to wait till next week, you know, we can do it next, we can do it any Sunday, but that would be a great choice. Some of you have not, you're not members of our church, and that's okay. I am perfectly fine in one sense for people to be a part of our congregation but not be a member of our church, unless you know that God wants you to be a member here. You know that. And God has been in your heart saying, you know what, you need to quit just going there and you need to be a part of it. Instead of, that's the church I go to, that's the church I belong to. And some of you have already made that commitment, we're just waiting for the vote. But some of you say, you know what, I just need to surrender. I'm just going to go ahead. I need to be a member of Faith Baptist Church. I don't know what God is dealing with you. Maybe full-time surrender. I honestly think there's some people in our church that God wants you in vocational ministry to surrender your life to be a missionary, a pastor, a Christian worker, something. I don't know what it is, but you know that God wants you to ramp up your service beyond where you're at right now. Whatever it is that God is just encouraging you to do, to be involved in, to take that step, that every time a pastor says it or somebody mentions it, it's one of those where you go, you know what? Yeah, I know God wants me to do that. Surrender. You will never be happy until you surrender to what God wants you to do. And when you do, it's amazing the relief that comes. This is what I have. It's my final point. Nothing is more powerful than a surrendered life in the hands of God. Nothing is more powerful than a surrendered life in the hands of God. You see, because sometimes we've got these plans of where we want to go and how we want to do and stuff like this, and God oftentimes comes in and interrupts our plans. I've heard it say this: if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And we've got this, and God comes in and says, well, how about this? How about this? And he brings somebody else in, and the best choice that we could make is just to follow the line of Mary. Let it be according to your word. I'm just your handmaid. I'm just your servant. You're my God. I'm your follower. Whatever you want in my life, I am willing to follow and I am willing to do. Back in the 50s, five guys decided that they would go and evangelize in the jungles of Ecuador. And so they went down there and they were wanting to evangelize the Wadani tribe, which was a very vicious tribe. And so they began to make contact with them just a little bit, and began to, took weeks and weeks to be able to make contact with them. And finally they were able to get down and be with them and interact with them. However, on a tragic day, it was discovered that these tribesmen were afraid of them. And rather than listen to them present the gospel, they speared them to death. And all five of those men were instantly killed. And the notoriety went all the way around. And so you would think that the plan of evangelizing that little tribe would have been destroyed because all five of those men were gone. However, what transpired after that is just how God takes care of things. Number one, many of the wives of those missionaries decided that they would go back to that tribe and evangelize them. And they turned that tribe, Jesus did, turned it around to where even one of those that speared those men became a believer in Jesus Christ. Revival hit that tribe. Not only that, but the stories of these five men that got killed inspired other young men and young women who were thinking about ministry to get involved. And there are missionaries around the world now, pastors, full-time Christian workers that are serving Jesus now because of the example of those five guys that gave their life, gave their all for Jesus. So they surrendered their life to do whatever, and it just happened to be that part of the plan for God was for them, like Jesus, to sacrifice their life for the cause of Christ. But because of that, many more have come in. You see, when you surrender your life to Jesus, you're pulling back, and you're saying, okay, Jesus, I will do what you want me to do. And there is nothing more powerful than a surrendered life in the hands of God. What is it that God wants you to do? What step does he want you to take? If there's something that you say, yeah, I know that's what God wants me to do, I want you just to come up here and just pray about it and surrender it to, if you physically can, to kneel down in submission and say, Jesus, I surrender. I'm letting it go. I'm giving it up. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Just like Mary. And look what happened in her life. The same can happen in your life.